Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We're to shine like lights in the world. Are we doing that? 16. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with you." Where is your joy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you use me. I pray, Lord, you give me your words. I pray, Lord, you give me your thoughts. I pray, Lord, you use me here like only you can do here today, Lord. And I pray that everyone here today and over the internet that's listening, Lord, I pray you'll speak to everybody's hearts here today. And Lord, maybe there is somebody out there that's never been born again. Lord, I pray this is the day they turn to you for salvation. But Lord, the Christian, Lord, where is our joy? Let's look at this here today, and we'll give you all the glory and honor that's done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most difficult elements for people to grasp about the gospel of Jesus Christ is its simplicity. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, getting saved, going to heaven is very simple. You see, God made it simple because He's dealing with people. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why is it so simple? Because He's long-suffering and waiting and willing and hoping that every single person will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants everybody saved. He made it simple for you. He made it simple for me because He's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish. When we were here, I think in May, the beginning of May, and we were here that second time in May, and We actually were here to candidate for the pastor, and you guys were going to vote and everything. And I said when we were here, we were going to go over to Alabama, back to Alabama for a little while. And our pastor was coming in from North Korea, and so we went there. And after church that Wednesday night, we went and ate over at IHOP. And when I walked in, the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, "You need to talk to that young man." He says, "You need to talk to that young man." And I said, "Okay, all right." So he was actually I was able to start talking with him a little bit and getting a rapport going, and we were able to talk more into a spiritual conversation. And I asked him the question. I said, "Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven if you die today?" And he looked at me and said, "No, I don't know. I don't know." And I said, "Well, wouldn't you to know?" And so I began going through the verses and giving him the gospel. And I know he was busy working. I said, "I want to talk to you some more." And he walked away, and it wasn't a minute later, he came back, and he says, "You know, I do have a question. It just seems so simple." And I said, "Hey, God made it simple for you." And I talked with him a couple minutes more, and I said, "Would you like to call on the Lord to save you right here, right now?" And he did. "Yes, I would." Right there at our table at IHOP, he bowed his head and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to save him. It's simple. Getting to heaven is easy. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it, believing on Him. Not what you can do, but see, let's look at this. Once a person gets saved, shouldn't there be a joy about that person? As a Christian, shouldn't we have joy? I mean, we should be happy we're saved. We should be happy we're not going to the lake of fire. We should be happy we're going to heaven. But sadly, too many Christians walk around this life defeated. We walk around with no joy, right? We're defeated. We've been discouraged. We have no hope. We have no peace in this life. That, I mean, I know we all have problems. Every single person in this world has problems. We all have problems. We have ailments. We have, and on. But thank God, one day all of these troubles, all of these problems, all of these ailments of this body will be gone. In will be an eternity with heaven, in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy the riches of His grace. But all too often here on this earth, we let our situations dictate our joy. We let our sin dictate our joy. You see, God wants us to have joy in this life. We are still on the winning side. Christ rose from the dead victoriously. We do not serve a dead Savior. He is a risen Savior. He is Christ, the risen Savior. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He is everything to deal with salvation. He is our joy. So where is your joy? Where is your joy? You see, as a Christian, we should have joy. We should enjoy coming to church. We should enjoy reading the Bible. We should enjoy the Christian life. There should be joy. But I ask you again, where is your joy? So today I'm going to give you a few thoughts, a few places where we can find joy. Ready? Number one, joy is found in salvation. Joy is found in salvation, and that's where it's got to start. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, "Notwithstanding this, rejoice, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. I'm going to heaven. I've been born again. I have salvation. My name is written in heaven. I'm not going to the lake of fire. I'm going to heaven. If you're saved, you can rejoice. You are going to heaven, and that's where it all starts. That's where joy starts in this life. It's only found through Jesus Christ. Everything begins with salvation. It has to. Everything begins with salvation. You see, I'm going to heaven. That should bring a joy. I'm not going to hell. That should be a joy. All of my sins, every single one of those wicked sins, have been forgiven. There should be a joy. You see, getting to heaven is simple, because you can't do anything to earn your way there. It's not anything you can do. Jesus paid it all on that cross. In Romans 8:8, it says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." We cannot do anything in this flesh, in this body, that's going to please God and say, "Okay, you're that good of a person, come on into heaven." There is nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. There's no work. There's no religion, there is no sacrifice, there is no baptism, there is nothing that's going to forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven. And why is that? Because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is no difference. You, me, somebody in a different country, somebody of a different race, it doesn't matter. We are all the same. We all have the sin problem. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin has separated us from God. God is a holy God, and it doesn't matter who you are. He says the wages of your sin is death. Everybody deserves death because that sin, the wages of sin is death. And death isn't just dying and going to a grave and that's it. The Bible talks about death. In Revelation 20:14, it says, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. It's that separation from God forever. You will never see God. You will never be in heaven. That is the second death if you die without Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done. You see, God does not compare us to each other. He compares us to Himself. And God is holy and righteous and pure and just. And because of His holiness, sin cannot enter into His presence. In Leviticus 11:45, it says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." See, God is holy. And me, He looks at me, Isaiah 64:6, "All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Everything I used to think would get me to heaven. Oh, I used to think I'd stand before God and He'd have this scale and He'd pull all my good works out and then all my bad works out. And in my mind, the scale always would tip a little bit for good. He would always let me into heaven because I'd just have one more good deed that would outweigh the rest. And that's not what the Bible says. It's not what it says at all. You see, Jesus paid that price on Calvary. And in John 14:6, He says this. Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He says He is the way. So either Jesus is the only way, or He's a liar and He's deceived everybody. Jesus is the only way. He went to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for all people, for every single person. He died on that cross, shed His blood on that cross. He died there. They took Him down, He buried Him, and He was 3 days in that tomb, 3 days, 3 nights, and He came up out of that grave victoriously. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He paved the way for you and I to get to heaven, and that's the only way to get to heaven. And here's the thing. Salvation is easy. He paid it all on that cross. All I have to do is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, all I'm simply saying is this. Joy is found in salvation. That's where it starts. Let me give you another one. Joy is found in the Savior. Joy is found in the Savior. In 1 Peter 1:8 it says, whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen, you love. You see, once we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know the Savior. We need to know Him. None of us have seen Him, but we need to know Him. We are thankful. We are grateful. We want to know Him for what He did for us. What He did for us, nobody can do for us. You see, we have rebelled against God. We have smitten God. We have neglected God. We have disobeyed God. But even though all of that was going to take place, He knew that, and He still went to the cross for us. He still offered Himself as a sacrifice. He still humbled Himself and left God in heaven and came to this earth and took on the form of a man, took on flesh, 100% God, 100% man, and He still knew that we were going to spit on Him and reject Him. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, it means proved, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He took that guilt upon Himself. He took that punishment upon Himself. And when He was on that cross and all of my sin was put on Him and all of your sin was put on Him, God the Father turned His back on Him. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? God was holy. He could not look upon that sin. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Hey, look, all I'm saying is there's joy in the Savior. There is joy in knowing Him. There is joy in salvation. There is joy. You see, the reason that we love Him is because He first loved us. He first loved us. And that's why we love Him. You see, there is joy in knowing the Savior. In John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus is the reason for joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Joy. Jesus. There's joy found in the Savior. Number three, there's joy found in security. There is joy found in security. Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor personalities nor for I am persuaded that neither death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor debt, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Hey, there is joy and security knowing that I can never lose my salvation once I have it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not in this life and not in the afterlife. Nothing can separate me. I am eternally secure once I've been saved. Once I've been born again, nothing can cause me to lose my salvation. It cannot be taken from me. No man can take it. No government can take it. No military can take it. I cannot give it away. Here's the thing. Salvation hasn't changed. God's Word has not changed. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is the same. His salvation is the same. His Word is the same. That's why you can't go about changing His Word. His Word is good. It's not. It doesn't need to be changed. When you change His Word, you dummify everything else on it. And the next thing you know, you've got Baptist churches preaching. You can lose your salvation. Because they've changed the original format of the word. You cannot lose your salvation. Everything in life changes. People change. Circumstances change. The weather changes. Our emotions change. You're always up and down. Up and down. But here's the thing. Our salvation is not based on our feelings. You cannot be saved. I feel saved today. I don't feel saved tomorrow. No, that's not what salvation is. It's not based on feelings. God never changes. His salvation is the same. It's always been, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's always been. It's always been that way. Jesus promises that He will never cast anyone out. In John 6:37, He says, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." It's kind of like this. How many of you have kids? I have kids. I have two. And you know what? They didn't always disobey. They weren't always obedient. Whenever they did something, I didn't kick them out of the family. Right? I didn't cast them out. I didn't say, "You're no longer part of the Delhay family because you sinned." No. You gotta chasten them. You gotta discipline them. You gotta teach them, nurture them up, correct them. The fellowship was broken because of their sin. The fellowship is broken, but once that gets fixed, we can fellowship again. Right? I never cast my kids out, and neither does God. Once you're His, He will chasten you when you get into sin, but He will never cast you out. There is joy in knowing your salvation is eternally secure. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." In verse 30, He says, "I and My Father are one." It's like this. You get saved, Jesus puts you in His hand. He says, "You're safe, you're secure, you're not going anywhere. Nobody's getting you out. You're in there." But then He says, "The Father, which is greater than all, puts you in there, and nobody is definitely getting you out of Jesus' hand or God the Father's hand." And in Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit gets involved too, because He wants to make sure you know you're sealed too. He goes, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." There is joy and security of the believer. And it's in the book. You got to know the book. Let me give you another one here. There is joy found in the sanctuary. Hey, turn over here with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There's joy found in the sanctuary. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 4. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house on thy gates." Hey, we are to diligently teach our children the importance of God's Word. The importance of His Word, and we're to do it all the time, He says there. We're to teach them the importance of His Word. We are to teach them the importance of church, the importance of the commandments of the Lord. You see, we are commanded to come to church, and he, by coming to church, we teach our children, our grandchildren, that coming to God's house is important. When you teach them that, and you come, by not coming, you teach your children to forsake God. You teach your children to forsake the things of God, the house of God, and that the things of God do not matter. But listen, our kids and our grandkids, They're not going to get it by osmosis. Right? It's not going to work that way. It's great. We put them, we bring them to church and we put them in a Christian school and we tell them to read the Bible and we tell them to pray, but that doesn't mean they're going to get it. Okay? They have to be taught diligently. Like the Scripture said, they have to be taught diligently. And here's the thing. They have to be led by example. They have to be led by example. Part of the teaching is living out the truth before their eyes. We cannot be one way on Sunday and a different way the rest of the week. Monday, Tuesday through Saturday. We cannot live separate lives. The kids see that. The kids see that. The grandchildren see that. They need to see us living out the very truths that we're trying to teach them. Right? When they see that we're all sold out and they see that the Lord has worked miracles in our life and that's what we're trying to teach our kids, when they see that, when they see those truths taught and lived out, they're going to pick those up a whole lot more. They're going to pick those up a whole lot more than somebody that says, I remember growing up, there'd be some man, he'd have a cigarette in his hand, he'd say, Ronnie, I better never see you smoke. You know, he'd be smoking. What good is that? Right? What good is that? Right? That's how we need to teach our kids. You see, there's joy found in the sanctuary. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approach. You see, not just one service, all services, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Saturday, soul winning, hey, all of the service. I added it up. There's 168 hours in a week, right? 168 hours in a week, and you're like, I can only come, or I'm only coming to one service. So 168 hours in 1 week, and you give God 1 hour.
Oh.
When you look at it like that, it's kind of, right? 1 hour. Let's say I'll come to two services. You give 2 hours. Right, we could add up all of our services. And however many hours that is, it's still not enough. Still not enough, is it? We need more. Right? We need more. This whole world beats us down. He tells us we're to come to exhort one another. If you're not here, you cannot exhort one another. You cannot be exhorted. And then maybe some of you are just saying, well, preacher, that's just too much. That's just too much church. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, are you sure you want to go to heaven? If that's just too much, are you sure you want to go to heaven? Hey, if it's too much to sing that many songs, are you sure you want to go to heaven? Are you sure? Because that's what heaven is. We'll be worshiping the Lord all the time, singing songs, praises, and worshiping Him all the time. Well, let's move on. Let me give you another one. There's joy found in service. There is joy found in service. If you would, flip over to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, there's joy found in service. Joy found in service, Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 24. Acts 20, 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 20, verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me. Maybe if you didn't get moved by all the things in the world, you would want to come to church more than just 1 hour, more than just 2 hours, more than just two services. Maybe we're too filled with the world that there's no room for the Holy Spirit and the Lord in our lives. Paul's saying here, but none of these things move me. None of these things going on in this world should move me. None of these should grasp my attention and make me want to worship them more than the Creator. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. That I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, this is the testimony of Paul. He was sold out. He was totally committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I count not my life dear unto myself. Our lives are not for us. Once we've been saved, we've been bought with a price. We're to glorify Him. We're to please Him. We're to live for Him. Our lives are no longer about us. Our lives are to go into service. You want real joy in your life? Start serving the Lord. True joy comes when you're serving the Lord, doing something for the Lord. You see, everybody can do something. Everybody, you have spiritual gifts. God has given us gifts to use in the church. Right? If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift to be used in the church for the Lord, for this church, His church. And none of this other stuff should move us. Joy is only found in serving Him. I've always been involved in sports and growing up in sports and always played sports, okay? And any time in my life when I played sports, I never wanted to sit on the bench. I never wanted to be on the sidelines. I wanted to be where the action was. Right? I wanted to be in the game. Put me in the game. I want in the game. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I need to be involved. I need to get involved in the game. Christian life is no different. Christian life can be very joyous. Can be very joyous if you're serving Him. If you're not serving the devil in the world, but serving Him. We don't want to quit now, do we? I mean, Jesus could come back right now. We don't want to quit, do we? We don't want to quit. This very next moment, we could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to quit. I mean, Moses was 80 years old. When the Lord called him into service, he was 80 years old. And then he went and wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years till he died at 120. Hey, we should all want to finish well. Flip over to 2 Timothy. So this here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is about to be put to death. And you probably know these verses already here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, there is joy in service, joy in serving Him. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And he says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Hey, I didn't alter. None of those things that the world threw at me, I didn't take. I left that all, my past in the past. I moved forward. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. What the Lord had for me to do, I stayed faithful and I finished the course. He's about to die. He knows he's going to die. And he says, "I have finished my course. I've done exactly what I came to do." Verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And here you go. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love Him, that love His appearing." Right? We don't do this because we're saved. We do this because we're going to heaven. Because He saved us. Right? But He tells us there's going to be rewards there as well. There's going to be rewards there. We just want to finish well. We just need to be faithful. We just need to be faithful. We just need to get the gospel out. We just need to be faithful, committed. Hey, invite friends. Invite family. Invite neighbors. Invite co-workers to church. Get them in here. We just want to finish well. We want to finish the course. We do not want to finish like Demas. Look there at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. There, right where you're at. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Having loved this present world for all of eternity. This is what Demas is known for. The man who forsook Paul for the world. Now from all accounts in the Scripture, we believe Demas is a saved man. He's a saved man. He just got sidetracked on the world. He got to loving the world. And he left Paul. He left Paul. So 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, we're going to be in heaven and we'll be like, "Hey, there's Demas. Hey, Demas. Why in the world did you forsake Paul and leave him? Oh man, that was such a mistake. That was such a mistake." For all of eternity, this is what Demas is known for. Hey, all I'm saying is we want to finish well. We want to finish strong. We want to be faithful till the end because there is joy. There is joy in service. There is joy. Let me give you another one here. There is joy found in the surety of heaven. I know I've mentioned it already, but there is joy found in knowing you're going to heaven. In 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." K-N-O-W, know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, listen, if you've done that, you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've been born again, you're going to heaven. Heaven is a sure thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you know what? In heaven, there'll be no more of these fleshly bodies. There'll be no more diseases. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death, no more killing, none of that stuff. Everybody will have a spiritual body and will never get old, will never get tired. Everybody will live in joy and in peace. In Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." Hey, listen, I'm just saying there is joy in salvation. There is joy in knowing you're going to heaven when you die. There is a joy about the Savior, about knowing the Savior. There is a joy about coming to the sanctuary of God. There is a joy about serving Him. And there is a joy about going to heaven. You see, one day, that day could be today. We do not know. We could close our eyes here and our heart stops ticking and we go off into eternity. Will you go to heaven? Will you close your eyes here and wake up and see Jesus? Or will you close your eyes here and wake up like the rich man in Luke chapter 16? And in hell, he lift up his eyes to you in torment. You're brought here today for that purpose. You're over the internet. You have a choice. The choice is yours. God will not make you get saved. God will not make you come to Him. But He's given you the opportunity to receive that free gift here today. So if you're here today, you're on the internet, you've never been born again, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that here today. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. You can come forward. You can tell me you need to be saved. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. But let me ask you this. You say, "I've been saved. I know I'm going to heaven." Well, Christian, are you living life in light of eternity? Is there joy in your life? I mean real joy. I'm not talking about this temporary joy that has your emotions up and down. I'm talking about real joy. Real joy of salvation, yes. Real joy in knowing the Savior. Real joy in serving Him. That's what I'm talking about. Do you have joy? Or has sin robbed you of that joy? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So you have a choice. The choice is yours. Where is your joy? Let's pray.